Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, if you are just now tuning in to Montana Talks, you missed out because David Noble showed up early. And so we got a few extra minutes with David here on this Thursday. But he's with us for this full hour as well. A lot to get to. Let me kick things off with another montage. Kind of like yesterday morning, right around 4 o'clock in the morning, Montana time, 6 a.m. Eastern time, Fox and Friends kicked off their coverage with a great montage, just giving you a sense of what all of the speakers had to say, or several of the speakers had to say at the Republican National Convention from the night before. And, you know, because I know some of you watched the whole thing, but most of us were able to catch bits and pieces, and we're hearing some of the news coverage. But anyway, here you go. This is from Fox and Friends earlier this morning. Great montage that they put together from RNC day three, I think, right?
Let me tell you about the future. President Trump's vision is so simple and yet so powerful. We're done, ladies and gentlemen, catering to Wall Street. We'll commit to the working man.
When he stood up with blood on his face and the flag at his back, the world saw a spirit that could never be broken.
I was shocked when I heard that he has been shot. And I just wanted to know if he was okay. A lot of people have put my grandpa through hell, and he's still standing.
All right. So, yeah, I thought there was a little more to it. But either way, you get a sense of what was covered last night there, including J.D. Vance. David Noble, kind of your take on day three.
I've been watching every night. So what I do, especially on something like this where it's not copyrighted, I live stream it on my Twitch stream live and then I'll provide commentary over the top of it. So I've been live streaming the RNC every night the last three nights and just providing commentary on Twitch and stuff. You know, the J.D. Vance pick. Here's one thought that I've had sort of during this whole thing and sort of especially seeing where – especially taking part in the recent Montana GOP platform convention and then kind of seeing how this convention's going and then looking at J.D. Vance's policy positions and looking at Trump's policy positions and then also looking at the new Republican Party platform and then thinking about my personal policy positions and comparing those to Trump and J.D. One thing I've noticed in all of this is that there is almost an unlimited number of basically different types of political beliefs that people can have. None of this matches up perfectly. I don't agree with 100% of Donald Trump. I don't agree with 100% of J.D. Vance. But I agree with 80, 90% of everything Trump believes. I agree with 80, 90% of everything J.D. Vance believes. And that's enough for me. Even though I'm more of a free market economist kind of guy than maybe Trump and Vance, maybe I'm more in favor of a stronger foreign policy. Regardless, we're not going to agree with these folks perfectly, but it's 80, 90%, 100%, getting close to 100%. We got to support Trump and J.D. Vance, even if you don't. And Nikki Haley was right. You agree with 80, 90% of this, you support him.
That's right. That's right. But man, look at how many so-called conservatives out there will let the 5 to 10%, you know, and they will totally throw this country away over that 5 to 10%. They will vote against their own party.
Military matters.
The Pentagon is shutting down the $230 million pier it built to get humanitarian aid into Gaza. President Biden announced that U.S. Central Command would build the pier back in March, and the pier became operational May 17th. But due to bad weather and rough seas, it's only been operational just 20 days. The pier was always meant to be temporary, but was expected to last until September. Nearly 20 million pounds of humanitarian aid passed through the pier, and the U.S. military is touting this as a success. Vice Admiral Brad Cooper, the number two in charge of U.S. Central Command, made the announcement to reporters on Wednesday.
The maritime surge mission involving the pier is complete, so there's no more need to use the pier, particularly because we were able to implement a more sustaining pathway through Ashdod.
Humanitarian aid will now be delivered through a maritime corridor in Cyprus and go to Ashdod, Israel, before going into Gaza. The operation will be run by civilian aid organizations and not the U.S. military. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Liz Frieden, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will stay in the mid-90s in Bozeman to around 100 in Billings. Also still a late-day shower storm chance in the Bozeman area. Otherwise, staying clear to partly cloudy tonight. Low temperatures from around 61 in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. We'll see more sun Friday with highs in the 90s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
So this was the question I left folks with after Wednesday's show. It was a question remaining from last week. You mean to tell me that they're spending $500,000 a day operating one migrant shelter alone on our southern border, but $20,000 a day for the St. Mary Siphon Water Project on Montana's High Line is too much for a temporary replacement? Just a question I threw out there. Montana Talks, we take you statewide every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10, right here.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I don't think I played this soundbite yet for you. David Noble and I were chatting about it during one of the breaks here, but you guys know who Van Jones is, right? So Van Jones, he's a likable guy because, you know, he's a radical leftist, a radical Democrat, but he still is kind of willing to at least try to say some things that they're not typically allowed to say as Democrats. Let's see. He was on, I had the story right in front of me here. He was on, I think it was MSNBC, or is he on CNN? It might be, yeah, either way, same thing, right? But he was saying how weak the Democrats look right now and how strong the Republicans look right now. This comes from the RNC research handle via X.
If you pull back and look at this thing, strength versus weakness, a bullet couldn't stop Trump. A virus just stopped Biden. You've got the nominees of this party getting their butts kissed. Biden's getting his butt kicked by his own party. The Democrats are coming apart. The Republicans are coming together. That's what's happening.
Wow, there you go. David Noble, your thoughts. And CNN, it was CNN, okay. By the way, yeah.
My thought is, what world are we living in when I agree with Van Jones, when I agree with Bill Maher? What planet is this?
when Republicans are uniting? Republicans are supposed to fight each other. They're not supposed to fight the Democrats. They're just supposed to keep fighting and attacking each other and whining and complaining. They're not supposed to unite.
there's plenty of that going on. There's plenty of that going on. And frankly, so to finish the thought that I said before you played that clip, too, about these sort of differences that Republicans have and stuff. And it's like, you know, we saw a lot of stuff going on at the RNC that's caused a lot of division amongst Republicans, including having a prostitute or a porn star or whatever the heck Amber Rose is or was.
Rapper,
whatever. And then having, having other religious prayers and stuff like that. And that's kind of when I realized it's like, look, in my perfect world, would I have porn stars and other religious prayers at the RNC? I'm a Christian, and so in my perfect world, everybody would receive the salvation of faith in Christ, right? But like, we are a country that's founded on religious freedom. We are a country where one of our primary beliefs as a country is that you can practice whatever religion you want, and the Republican Party is one of the two major political parties in this country. We're trying to win an election here. We're trying to get a majority of the votes of the people. Now,
yeah, this convention is about speaking not to you, but to other people out there, to other Americans, to swing voters, to independent voters, and telling them why to vote for. That's how we're going to save this country. And but yeah, some people just think it should be all about them and catering to them. We had a caller the other day in the 9 o'clock hour, and I think Kestrel in Billings was right. I think it was probably a seminar caller. It was probably one of those Democrats pretending to be Republicans to try to make Republicans look bad. But this caller was like, yeah, and then I had to listen to that woman, you know, from Nicaragua that could barely speak English and blah, blah, blah. And like the guy was just whining and complaining about the whole Republican National Convention, which is why it leads a lot of us to believe that it's probably just a seminar caller. Right. Even if it wasn't, it'd be like, oh, you know, the complaint. Look, this woman came to this country legally the right way.
Right.
Hardworking woman. Yes. We will celebrate that in America. We should celebrate that in America. And if there is somebody out there who didn't like, the fact that she may not have spoken the perfect English that you think she should speak, well, you know what? Our Norwegian grandparents probably didn't either. Our right. Irish grandparents got mocked for the way they said things, and all of whom came here legally the right way. And so yeah, if you got a problem with legal activities, well, it's probably not the party for you. We're right. The party standing up against illegal immigration and what's going on right now that's being embraced by John Tester and Joe Biden.
Right, and the way I sort of viewed it is the way I view sort of the RNC. And then, so I brought that up because, you know, hey, if you're looking for a division within the GOP, you don't have to look too far for it or to find this. And you're seeing the same stuff with the Republican Party platform. And the Republican Party platform, RNC platform, is not at, I'll tell you, the national GOP platform is certainly not as conservative as the Montana GOP platform. And you're seeing a lot of folks that are upset with the fact that Trump and the RNC removed some of the more social conservative positions from the platform. And so you got that. You've got the Amber Rose thing.
Which is a valid criticism.
Right, but the way I'm viewing this whole thing is that this is a national political party. We're trying to win an election. We have to, and so I think the RNCs and the changes that are happening at the RNC and with the platform and the way that this national, that's just a reflection of our country and where we're at as a country. And so if you don't want a porn star rapper speaking at the RNC, you don't attack the RNC or Trump. You change our culture, because politics is downstream from culture. And if we're going to try to win a national election, and we have a whole bunch of people in our country that support porn stars and that kind of a lifestyle and rap, and we have the opportunity to have a porn star come up and say, hey, I'm voting for Trump.
Is she a porn star? I know she's a rapper. Yeah, she's probably dressed awkwardly. Okay,
she is a porn star.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I consider porn stars prostitutes because they're doing the same thing. But yeah. She's on OnlyFans and stuff like that.
But the reason why her speech was important is because here is a young black woman. I think she used to date Kanye West back in the day. Who is saying, I bought into the lie that Donald Trump was a racist. I bought into that lie. And she wanted to prove her own father wrong that Trump was not a racist. That right. Trump's actually fighting for you. She tried to prove her father wrong. She couldn't. Instead, she now is endorsing right. Donald
J. Trump. It's the exact same thing when people set out to research to prove that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Everybody that searches to try to prove Jesus Christ was not real, they end up becoming Christian.
That's right, because the case is there. No, that's I was thinking this. Same thing the other day. I'm glad you said it. Quick break. More to follow. Plus, we've got phone lines open for you. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
In response to a week-long social media backlash, John Deere and Company has announced on Tuesday that it will no longer support certain external or cultural awareness events and will eliminate socially motivated messages from its policies. Deere emphasized it has never had diversity quotas in its hiring practices, but remains committed to advancing organizational diversity. The announcement follows similar actions by Tractor Supply Company last month after facing conservative criticism over its corporate diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, policies and environmental efforts. The campaigns were spearheaded by Robbie Starbuck, a filmmaker and former Tennessee Republican congressional candidate, who accused both companies of being woke. Starbuck's social media attacks, which began in June against Tractor Supply and continued with Deere, highlighted the company's DEI practices and recent layoffs. Deere responded by revising its sponsorship policies to focus on business-related initiatives and reaffirm its stance against diversity quotas and pronoun identification in company policies. In a statement, Deere stated, quote, "We value our employees and are committed to aligning our policies with customer needs," end quote. John Deere also announced further layoffs, with 345 production workers in Waterloo, Iowa, set to lose their jobs following earlier layoffs this year, affecting around 2,000 employees. I'm Wayne Nordblond.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so David and I kind of had this conversation during the break here. You know, more about kind of the inside baseball stuff, the GOP platform. Now, I know a lot of you listening, believe that's really important, and it's important. But I know there's also a lot of you out there that are like, okay, that's that inside baseball stuff that I don't care about. Most of that stuff that goes in the platform never goes anywhere anyway. It's just for people to sit there and puff their chest and to pretend to be more conservative than the guy two rows away from him. So I get it. It's important. But this was interesting. There are folks who are, you know, raising, you know, serious concerns. They are concerned that when particularly the pro-life messaging inside the GOP national platform was watered down. Now, I think it was a tactical move to try to prevent any sort of a blue wave over the abortion issue. I think it was more of a strategic move, tactical move necessarily than the GOP moving away from being a pro-life party. But nonetheless, I think it's good that people raise the concern. I saw Jeff Essman, a former Senate Majority Leader in the GOP, former chairman of the Montana GOP. It looked to me like he was defending this change, or at least explaining the change when it first came out. I saw a tweet from him where he said, look, the national GOP platform, there was a move to make it more general, to make it more of a, here's our general policy platform, because there's some people that want to get way too specific, because some might argue the Montana platform is way too specific. You don't need to dictate, well, in subsection 3, title 4, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't do anything anyway. It's just a way for people to puff their chest and to pretend to be more conservative than somebody else sometimes. Anyway, I digress.
Well, so the way I view that is I agree that it's more – it's Trump doing that so that to try to defang the abortion argument from the Democrats. But here's the thing. If Trump has a very conservative Congress, if Donald Trump has a very conservative House and a very conservative Republican Party majority in the Senate, then that influences what's going to happen in the in what legislation Trump would sign and frankly what Trump would do. And so let's let Trump run his presidential campaign, and he can have the union president come give a straight up communist message at the RNC. He can have porn stars come. We can do all of this stuff. And then here's what we can do as conservatives. We can send people like Troy Downing and Ryan Zinke to Congress. We can send people like Tim Sheehy and Steve Daines to the Senate, and we can have those guys in Congress push the Trump White House further to the right. Easy as that.
Well, and not only that, but okay, your platform can say whatever the heck you want your platform to say. And that's nice. That's nice. I could put that bumper sticker on my pickup. Nice. But here's the deal. You don't win these important Senate races. You don't get federal judges that stand up for our timber industry, that stand up for life and for liberty and for kids and for parents' rights and push back against this radical agenda. So you can puff your chest and claim to be as righteous as you think you are. And you can, look at how great I am. But if you lose Senate races, because, A, you're still mad about what happened in some primary election 2 years ago. What do you think happens with our country? What do you think happens with our federal courts? What do you think happens with the United States Supreme Court? I mean, Joe Biden is now pushing – this just came out in the last 2-3 days. He is pushing for severe changes to the United States Supreme Court. So,
right, which amounts to a court packing plan. I mean, he's couching it a little different. And, oh, we're going to do term limits and we're going to do this – It's essentially court packing. Same thing Democrat FDR did to illegally change the meaning of the Constitution in 1932 when the switch in nine that saved nine resulted in the destruction of our constitutional order with Wickard v. Filburn. Anyway, that's what's – yeah, so I that was so obvious that Joe Biden put that story out there to try to shore up the base amongst the hardcore radical commie left because they have been demanding that Joe Biden go out and favor a court packing for years. And, so suddenly – the Joe Biden's about to be pushed out as the Democrat nominee, and suddenly, wow, Joe Biden actually supports court packing. Wow, what coincidental timing for that?
Surprise, surprise, surprise. I got a woke update of the week for you that also ties in with the Republican National Convention, the selection of J.D. Vance. Daniel Turner is the executive director of Power the Future, advocates for American energy jobs. I think this headline at thefederalist.com alone is a great woke update of the week, but also it sums up why J.D. Vance, I think, is such a good choice, not just for Michigan and Pennsylvania, but for Butte and Great Falls as well. J.D. Vance's message resonates with poor communities hollowed out by climate change elites. Brilliant headline, and I think he connects the dots so well here. And speaking of climate change elites, John Tester is a climate change elite. Ryan Bussey, his kids are on that stupid climate kids lawsuit. The guy spent $96 on one drink at Bar MT. Look at his expense reports. I mean, you don't get more climate change elite than that guy.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Setting out the main event tonight, the acceptance speech of GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump. J.D. Vance, his VP nominee at the Republican National Convention.
Tonight is a night of hope, a celebration of what America once was, and with God's grace, what it will soon be again.
Spotted at the convention, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle pursued by senators dodging questions about the Trump assassination attempt with Senator Marsha Blackburn. While House Speaker Mike Johnson, who yesterday called for Cheadle's resignation, says today,
I prepared this morning to call on President Biden to fire Director Cheadle.
Telling Fox the mistakes, the ineptitude is unreasonable. President Biden back at the Delaware beach and down with COVID, with more Democrats warning him if he doesn't bow out, he can't beat Donald Trump. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, David Noble, I know you got a woke update for us here. This may be the fastest woke update in the history of woke updates on the week here. But what did you think about my candidate for woke update of the week there with, J.D. Vance, his message resonating with poor communities hollowed out by climate change elites? It's the climate change elites in the Democrat Party and the media that have been attacking Colstrip and want to shut down mining in Butte.
Right. Well, I think that's key. I think that's a great message. It's a great point by the Federalist. I think the Trump administration or the Trump campaign message on economics and finances is going to win them the election. And of course, it's absolutely right. I mean, you look at the cost of gasoline and look at the cost of groceries. Those are the two biggest things that are killing people right now. A majority of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That's the Joe Biden, John Tester economy. A majority of us are just barely getting by living paycheck to paycheck. A majority of Americans, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it makes perfect sense because it's extremely difficult to get by. But the reality is that gas prices and grocery prices have skyrocketed and the inflation on those two things has gone out of control because of the left's nut job crazy global warming policy, shutting down coal power plants, banning oil and gas, wanting to ban fossil fuels, shutting down the American energy. And of course, the groceries are really expensive because it costs so much to transport those groceries to their local grocery. And the reason it costs so much to transport the groceries is because John Tester and Joe Biden are outright engaged in an outright war against fossil fuels. They've openly said they want to ban fossil fuels. That's driving up the cost of oil and gas. That's driving up the cost of our gassing into pump and the grocery store. And so J.D. Vance and the Federalists are exactly right. It's these climate change policies that are making us poorer. And Trump, he'll fix that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was interesting. I mentioned we did an event at the Blue Cat yesterday. We crashed Mark Wilson's Wilson Wednesday party, and such a great time. I think we passed out 76 gift cards yesterday in just the course of a couple hours. Got to meet so many great folks. But there was a farmer there with his son or grandson, with a young man. But he was telling me his input costs have doubled in the last 2 to 3 years. Doubled. And so if the people that grow your food are paying twice as much as they used to pay, well, then you wonder why you pay a lot more for your groceries than what you used to pay as well. And it's all because of these failed policies of Joe Biden and John Tester. Massive spike in inflation came right after the party line ARPA vote, where the Democrats shoved trillions of dollars down our throats and then, of course, gave it to illegal aliens and all these other countries and you name it. All right, we got Mike in Big Timber on the phone lines. Mike, stand by. You'll be first up on the phone lines right after this. And then we'll also get to David Noble's woke update of the week. I'm told it will be the fastest woke update in the history of woke updates since we first started having these every Thursday with the great David Noble in the house.
Democracy 24.
Vice President Kamala Harris holds many czar titles, including AI czar, gun violence czar, and border czar. Critics struggle to see where she has made an impact, though. Right now, Vice President Kamala Harris working to raise her profile within the administration. Over the past 3 months, she has crisscrossed the nation speaking about various Biden plans. The tour meant to raise her sagging poll numbers. Now, within the Democratic Party, Fox News polling shows 57% of registered voters have an unfavorable opinion of the vice president. That trails even President Biden. Still, Vice President Harris, after the debate, disaster, saying that is not the person she sees in the Oval Office. Republican Representative Byron Donalds doesn't buy it.
The Democrats and the media hid the fact that Joe Biden is not capable of doing this job. Their agenda has been a disaster. So people are sick of the agenda anyway. Then we find out they've been lying to us. So I think they're going to lose no matter who they put up.
At the White House, Edward Lawrence, Fox Business.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The media are really piling on Senator J.D. Vance since Donald Trump picked him as running mate. Now, Vance had to know that some of the things he said in 2016 about Donald Trump, when he called himself a never-Trumper, talked about Trump as America's Hitler, would come back to bite him. But he now flips the script by saying, I bought into the media's lies. Now, there is legitimate criticism, although he's an ex-Marine, very smart, Yale Law School, and comes from the Midwest, that he's only been in the Senate since last year. Does he have the experience to take over as president if necessary? We all got a reminder of that with the attempted assassination last week. But when the press goes after the Ohio senator for what they would call extreme views on abortion or tariffs or Ukraine, he's there to reflect the nominee's views and to back up Donald Trump. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's the fastest woke update in the history of our woke updates of the week. So actually, let's start there before we get into the phone calls. It's that fast.
Yeah, and we got to give a shout out to Tim and Savage for the hat tip here for the idea. But here's the woke update. It's a three word woke update. Maybe the biggest woke update of all time. And here it is, folks. Here's the woke update of the week. The Secret Service.
The Secret Service. Well, and I think Tim shared, you know how they'll show like the Halloween costume, the prepackaged Halloween costumes, and this one says FBI DEI hire, and oh man, you almost feel bad about this one. You know, it's the photo of the woman who was struggling to reholster her pistol.
Right.
During the, I'm going to show a little more grace on that one. But then again, this is a Secret Service. Like, this is your job. Right?
Well, and when I say the Secret Service as a woke update, I'm not even necessarily talking about that woman or any of the others. I'm talking about the fact that this is a DEI organization that has spent its time focusing on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and They obviously made a massive mistake here or were part of a plan or something was terrible here. And that's what happens. Look at Boeing airplanes. You feel safe getting on a Boeing airplane these days? And
yeah, I mean, look at the DEI. Some people said the acronym actually should be DIE because of just how dangerous it is when they start pushing this woke nonsense on all these companies, especially when public safety is involved, when the safety of the president of the United States and a previous president of the United States is involved here. I hadn't even seen the message from Tim in Savage yet, but he says the story that I mentioned earlier, Joy Reid suggesting Biden recovering from COVID is exactly the same thing as Trump surviving an assassination attempt. That's the, oh, for Pete's sake, moment for the entire week. Let's go to Mike in Big Timber. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for the hot mic during the commercial. You're right. This smoke really sucks.
Yeah, all the smog out there right now. Yeah, if only we could better manage our forests and treat our forests, you know, and
And there was ash falling the other day. It's all over my deck, and I'm in Big Timber, so figure that one out. Anyway, two questions for you. I haven't heard anything as far as campaigning by the Eastern District Republican nominee, primary winner, Troy Downing. Have you heard anything? And the second question is, what do you think about this Biden bit to try to reform the judicial branch with some sort of executive order or legislation? David may know a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I think we kind of hinted at that earlier where David was saying that basically what Biden is trying to do is lay the groundwork for court packing and to fundamentally reshape the Supreme Court so they can have a permanent grip on power. Back to the Eastern District Congressional race, are you concerned that you haven't been seeing or hearing enough of Troy Downing? Is that what you're, I guess, what you're getting at there?
Well, I haven't heard anything. There's mention of, with Tim Sheehy in the Senate race, but I think it's very important that Troy get out there if he hasn't already, but I haven't heard anything. Yeah, hopefully he's not just sitting back and hopefully going to ride some sort of red wave.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think he will. I think he's going to be hardworking. I mean, once he put his foot on the gas pedal in that primary in particular, he never let off the gas, which is why I think he was ultimately successful. He was with us, if you might have missed it, yesterday at about 8:40 in the morning. Troy Downing actually called in. He's been back at the RNC for the national convention this week. And so we had a great conversation with him yesterday afternoon. And look, I got to say, though, I would slightly, I guess, not necessarily disagree with Mike. What I would say, David, is I'm actually happy with what I just heard from Mike and Big Timber, because, look, the Republicans are going to win the Eastern Congressional seat. I mean, it basically is not a race. And Troy Downing is going to put in the work. I mean, he's at the RNC convention this week, and then he's going to be hitting the ground again once he gets back from that. But no, the most important race right now, aside from the presidential race at the national level, is Tim Sheehy's election here in Montana. That is absolutely the most. That's why I actually appreciated it yesterday when Troy Downing called into the show. He was talking about the importance of getting Tim Sheehy elected to that Senate race, because, frankly, that's what matters. That in our Supreme Court elections here in Montana. That's the two biggest races. If you don't vote for Tim Sheehy, you are voting against Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think Troy Downing is going to put in the work as well, and that idea or that issue reminds me of when Troy Downing was here in the studio one time when I was covering for you. Me and him were talking during a break about hard work and stuff like that, and I had mentioned to him, it's like, look, I started mowing lawns for $10 a lawn when I was 10 years old. I got a paper out delivering the Bozeman Daily Chronicle in Manhattan, Montana when I was 12 years old. I was getting up at 4 a.m. at 12 years old and putting the rubber bands around the paper and putting them in my thing and getting on my bike. And I was delivering newspapers at 12 years old. I have worked.
3-4 in the morning. I was, fourth grade. It was the Glasgow Courier. junior high. It was the Chicago Tribune. That thing was thick on a Sunday morning. But that's why I was able to go out and buy my own clothes and get some. And instead of getting the fake Jordans, I got the nice Jordans, right?
And I've worked every day, worked my entire life ever since, 10, 12 years old. And Troy Downing basically said, hey, I'm the same way. He's like, I'm a hard worker. And Troy Downing is a hard worker. He's kind of like Trump. He doesn't need to be putting in all of this hard work to do what he's been doing for us, but he's out there doing it, and so I think he's gonna do it.
He didn't need to go to Afghanistan. He was, when 9/11 happened, he was a very successful, kind of struck it big in the tech industry back in the dot-com boom days, right? He was early in on Yahoo, but he left that behind to go serve his country in Afghanistan, and so he's going to put in the work, I think it's great that he also knows that he's not just putting in the work for himself, but this Senate race is that critical that everybody has got to be on that same message of talking about how important it is to vote for Tim Sheehy in that U.S. Senate race. Let's see what else is going on out there. Andy and Whitefish sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Right on John sent us one as well. How many COVID shots has Joe Biden received? And he still gets COVID. Still gets COVID. That's right, right on John. But Andy and Whitefish says this. This was a question. I posted a story on our Montana Talks website. He says, to your Milk River question, it's America last every time. I think we should stop playing games with these nut jobs and just start fixing it. The Milk River question, David, if you hadn't seen it on our Montana Talks website yet, is I raised the question. So federal officials are saying that we can't fix this massive highline irrigation project here in Montana. Well, they're going to make a long-term replacement happen, but the short-term fix is too expensive because it would be $5 million up front, and then it would be $20,000 a day to run a temporary fix for the next year, right? But I raised the question, well, wait a minute. Joe Biden and John Tester are giving $500,000 a day to operate one migrant shelter on the southern border alone. So they've got $500,000 a day for a migrant shelter, but $20,000 a day for the lifeline to the High Line is too much money.
Unbelievable. It's ridiculous. The way my take on this whole thing is I blame John Tester. Because John Tester has been in Washington, D.C. voting for appropriations bills for almost 20 years. For almost two decades, John Tester has been in power in D.C., in control of federal appropriations. And you know what he has not done in 20 years in D.C.? He has not obtained the funding to replace those siphon pipes that everybody has known for a long time are going to fail. And John Tester did nothing for two decades. This is his fault.
So we went from $6 trillion of debt in 2006 to nearly $35 trillion in debt now. That's how much debt has been acquired since John Tester's been back in Washington. But yet he couldn't.
$29 trillion.
He couldn't take care of this important irrigation project in Montana. Oh, but now he'll pretend to take care of it.
Well, and that's $29 trillion in debt in that amount of time. You know how much the federal government has spent in the 20 years that John Tester has been in
Don't
the
tell
US
me. Center? Don't tell me. Don't ruin my day. No.
Well, it's usually, 20 years ago, it was probably $2 trillion a year, and now it's $4, $5, $6, $7 trillion a year. If you average it out to, $4 trillion a year over those $80 trillion, John Tester has appropriated $80 trillion and he couldn't come up with $10 million or $20 million or 50, however much it is to replace.
Alms for the poor. It's the lifeline of the entire High Line, drinking water, recreation.
And they've known about those potential failures.
Known about it this entire time. You know what? I'll bet you if Conrad Burns had won that election in 2006 because he was known for bringing home the bacon to Montana, that project would have been fixed by now. But no, some of you bought into the lie that John Tester was a moderate.
Show up and run the vibe with Bose SoundLink Max Portable Speaker. Big stereo sound and deep bass gives the party people the music they can feel. Whether you're at a chill hang or an all-out bash, when you drop your playlist, the party is on. Grab-and-go convenience means it's easy to bring the vibe wherever you are, and it's built to withstand any party spills. All you need to do is press play. Bose SoundLink Max Speaker. Start the party at Bose.com/Spotify Speaker.
Fox News commentary.
Activists in California oppose a bill that would make selling a child for sex a felony. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz. 5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
History, pop culture, science, sports, civics. How much do you know? Let's find out.
Who was the first person to walk on the moon?
Jackson or something? Neil Armstrong.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz right now at thequiz.fox.
SB 1414, a bipartisan authored bill out of California, aims to upgrade buying or selling a minor for sex from its current status as a misdemeanor to a felony. As of now, prostituting a child in California is punishable by a minimum of 2 days in county jail and a possible punishment of up to 1 year in jail plus a $10,000 fine. SB 1414 seeks to upgrade the misdemeanor to a felony and the punishment up to a possible 4 years in state prison and a fine of $25,000. But even after amendments were made, activists are still opposing the bill, and their reason is telling. They believe harsher penalties outlined in the bill would disproportionately hurt members of the LGBTQ community. What kind of excuse is that? Predators should not get a pass. Their gender identity be damned. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Many people feel like they're barely making ends meet. In a recent study of U.S. workers, nearly half of respondents said they had less than $1,000 in savings, and 75% said they consider themselves to be living paycheck to paycheck. However, there are some small ways to save on a tight budget, and there are apps that can help you with the process. There are budgeting apps like Rocket Money, which can help you with everything from spending analysis and budgeting tools to bill negotiation and subscription cancellation services. The app is free, but some features cost money, and you'll need to sign up for a premium membership to unlock everything. And apps like Acorn and Chime are all-in-one financial platforms that have roundup features so you can link your debit card, checking account, or credit card to the platform. And whenever you make a purchase, the company rounds up the amount to the next full dollar and deposits the extra change to your savings account. Many apps use a variety of techniques to make saving money less of a hassle. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Democracy 2024.
Ohio Senator J.D. Vance addressing an RNC crowd.
Mr. Chairman, I stand here humbled, and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude to say I officially accept your nomination to be Vice President of the United States of America.
Speaking about being raised by his grandmother while his mother battled addiction, paying tribute to his mother who is in the crowd, telling folks she's 10 years sober, and calling the evening a night of hope. Also reflecting on the attempt on former President Trump's life.
What did he call us to do for our country? To fight for America. Even in his most perilous moment, we were on his mind. His instinct was for us, for our country, to call us to something higher, to something greater.
Telling fellow Republicans he believes the party is united to win. From the RNC in Milwaukee, Christine Goodwin, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So David Noble's woke update of the week was 3 words, the Secret Service. The DEI hire at the top of the Secret Service. Yeah, she came from PepsiCo, and then she got put in charge of the U.S. Secret Service. So, David, I don't know if you saw this, but so one of the big stories in the news right now is how they're refusing, this Secret Service director is refusing to answer questions, not just from, you know, everyday people like you and me, refusing to answer questions from United States senators, won't even answer questions from United States senators, and is refusing, apparently, to step down. Here's a quick Fox News Radio report.
The more we learn about last Saturday's assassination attempt and security failures, the more we can see the anger and criticism mounting for the agencies involved. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle was hounded by Republican senators at the RNC. Cheadle told those senators it wasn't an appropriate place to have that discussion. Her office releasing this statement, saying in part, continuity of operations is paramount during a critical incident, and U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle has no intentions to step down. Meantime, a Secret Service conference call with lawmakers Wednesday left many of them with more questions than answers.
Yeah, so basically you see this video on X shared by Senator Blackburn of Kentucky where they basically had to like run into her in the hallway and try to ask her questions, and she walks away from them like they're just some like Laura Loomer or some reporter trying to ambush interview her. You're the Secret Service director. These are two United States senators, and you won't even just stop and say hello and say something. Just the arrogance here.
Especially after the former president of the United States and the future president was just shot due to a very obvious failure to secure a very obvious location. And none of this stuff adds up. None of this is making sense. And she's talking about continuity. Oh, it's very service to have continuity after. It's like, what does continuity do for us after you guys just failed? You guys just failed. Like, somebody, they need to be coming out. This is the only thing that I'll accept to answer all the questions. If somebody comes out and says, I failed, it was my responsibility to do that, and I failed, and that person gets fired, that's what I need to hear from. They're not doing that. They're not saying that. They're coming up with excuses and all of a sudden, which is going to generate conspiracy theories. No question about it. Unless they come out and say, this was total incompetence, and this is how it happened, and this person royally screwed up, and they're fired. Unless that happens.
But her response to it all is a failure in itself. And so we need continuity. No, there's somebody in that agency who can take charge, who is probably willing to take charge, who's competent enough to take charge. Get them in charge right now and step aside. But no. Yeah, continuity of failure? That's just crazy. That's what Mayorkas is doing. I know we're getting really short on time. We've got a caller on the phone lines. Jake in Billings, thanks for the call. What did you want to share here quickly before we run out of time?
You know, I just wanted to say my grandfather used to tell me that if you want to know the true measure of a man, you look at their kids. The kids see that man behind closed doors, maybe even without a facade that, you know, that man might put up in front of others in the general public. And do they have character? Are they strong? Are they confident in themselves? Was this an absent father? You can tell by the way the kids react around that person. If you can see Trump's kids, all of them forever have had such self-confidence, and they've been good people. And now look at his grandkids. Donald Trump standing up on a stage for the first time in front of a bunch of people and giving a speech. Holy smokes, I could not be more impressed.
Yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it?
With
yeah.
His opponent, you know, the Biden's kids, you know, can be, not all of them are like this, but, you know, look at Hunter, for example.
Yeah, it's crazy. You mean the chief of staff, right? Yeah, no, Jake, great point. Great phone call. Thanks so much for calling in. David Noble, appreciate all your time. About 20 seconds to go. Anything you want to leave folks with across Montana?
I think that's a good point. The only thing I'll say is that I do think that children are responsible for their own acts, and a lot of parents do a really, really good job of parenting.
That's a good point.
And that kid turns out bad. That's that person's responsibility, not the parent.
That's right. Look at Adam and Eve's father, and yet they screwed up, right?
Right.
So, yeah, even good parents can have some troubled kids from time to time, too. That's true. But I think point well taken
by
what Jake said. Yeah.